looking at a final word, our final warning to the as to the character and works of Satan. It's amazing how people have preconceived ideas about spiritual things, and they never consult the Bible.
Right.
Yes.
Do they still make those books for cars? How to work on certain cars? They have the.
You have to buy a.
You have to download it now.
Every stick or download it off the line.
Yeah, it's the, but you know the big books. They used to have the big books, and then the big books.
I was going through some of mine yesterday.
Yeah, what's that three letter acronym they have for, you know, for the guys that know how to, they're certified mechanics.
ASE.
ASE.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I mean, you get into the book and it tells you exactly. Matter of fact, my wife and her dad, a year before he passed away, he had this old Craftsman lawnmower, hadn't run for years.
Oh, yeah.
And Pam said, "Dad, let's go out there and get your tools and we can YouTube it." And she convinced him, and they went out there and got that thing going.
That is so cool.
On YouTube. She'll never forget that. But you know, with Satan, he's not a cartoon character. He's not like Casper the Roadrunner. I mean, it's ridiculous, and people don't understand. He is very powerful. And so we need to understand that. And he leaves destruction in his wake. He has minions. He has people. He has demons and that are in the world, but he has people. The New Testament uses the phrase seducing spirits. Those are visible people. Those are people who he uses. And we need to realize that. And he's relentless. He does not stop. I just caught a snippet of some, I don't usually catch news, but last night I was watching somebody that was speaking in Georgia, and I was watching a thing called Newsmax, and they had, you know, of course they were, everything we do, as Americans, it seemed like we do it backwards. We're dropping aid to people in Gaza, and it's dropping on them and killing them. So maybe Israelis are indirectly using that. But you got that going on, and then you got the Houthis out there. They're trying to attack the merchant ships in the I don't know if it's a Gulf or out there, but they're out there doing that. And then there's things we don't hear about that's going on in Africa. There's unrest in Africa, and now Haiti's going haywire, and let prisoners out, and things and that kind of thing, and you know, there's death and destruction going on, and Satan's happy with that. And he leaves, everywhere you have revolution, everywhere you have war, tears it up. And Satan wants to tear you up, he wants to tear up your family, he wants to tear up this church. He wants to tear this nation up. And he's not our friend. He's not our friend, and so I want us to think about these. We've got just a little bit to look at tonight. Let's look at these in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is a key verse. If you guys want to look up the other verses there, but in Isaiah, we've looked at in Isaiah 14, we looked at the phrase where Satan said, "I will," and I've heard somebody said he had eye trouble. It was all about him. He is the instigator of sin, but we must answer personally for our sin. You know that, don't you? We used to have this guy named Flip Wilson. You haven't heard of Flip Wilson?
Yeah, you're dating yourself.
Yeah. He used to say, "The devil made me do it."
Yeah.
And the devil doesn't make you do anything. Amen? Notice 2 Corinthians 11:4. "For if he cometh, he that cometh preacheth what?
Another
Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Now, what's it talking about there? It's talking about, in this portion of scripture, it's talking about another. Okay? There's only one. There's only one. There's not another. There's only one Jesus.
Amen.
That's the first blank. Another Jesus. There's only one Jesus. Think about it. Think about it. How many people are vying for position, are putting themselves out there as something they're not? Okay? There's only one that can walk on water. Who has 1 John 2:18?
"Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is his last time."
Wow.
Little children. Why does he say little children? Why does he say little children? Who's he talking to?
The saved.
He's talking to us. Now that's he's not disrespecting us. He's just telling us what we are. We're aimless. Huh? We're easily fooled. Huh? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5. Anybody have that? Matthew 24 and verse 5.
24 verse 5?
Yeah.
"For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many."
Okay. Many. Many. Now you can talk about your conspiracy theories or who's behind what or everything, you know, but the Jim Jones, the David Koreshes, and Sung Young Moons and all those guys, they seek to be worshipped.
Yeah.
They seek to be worshipped. Notice, not just another Jesus, but another what? Another spirit. Mm-hmm. Look at 1 John chapter 4.
So is that second one spirit?
Yes, sir. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 3. Somebody get that. Read it out loud real good. 1 John. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Go ahead.
Let me go?
Yeah.
"Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, for they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
Now you got to pay attention to the scripture. You got to pay attention to the scripture. We don't really zoom in on the scripture to see what it's really saying. We hear the word spirit and we think something invisible, but that's not talking about invisible. It's not talking about where John says the wind bloweth where it listeth. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit of God. It's talking about spirit. It's talking about people. You see where it clarifies it? For many what? False what?
Prophets.
Prophets are coming in. Those are real people.
Right.
Okay? Their spirit, their attitude. What he's talking about is their attitude toward God is the wrong attitude. And it comes from their soul. Their soul is lost. And then it puts something very elementary that we really don't pay attention to. It says, they that believe that Christ has come in the flesh, right?
Right.
Now, that involves what? The virgin birth? The pre-incarnation? Jesus Christ, the eternal Jesus Christ? God coming in the flesh? God and man at the same time? That's a loaded phrase.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Zoom into the scripture and see that. Listen, there's a lot of people that say that's impossible.
Right. How can that be? Right.
That can't be. And so you're going to have people come in. Why do we, when somebody wants to join the church or become part of this church, we need to know what kind of doctrine they have.
Amen. That's right.
When a person comes in and they want to be part of this church and they say, I'm saved, and they come up from a church that they were sprinkled, they're going to get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, they identified with the wrong kind of church. Okay? We need to understand doctrinal purity. That's why they call the church the pillar and ground of the truth. It's on our shoulders to preach the truth. Amen?
Amen.
It's on our shoulders. It's not, and I'm going to tell you right now, listening to podcasts and watching YouTube and all these other things do not take the place of you studying the Bible.
And TikTok.
Huh?
And TikTok.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And other books.
Amen.
Other books. You know, I got these guys the other day is talking about, they were talking about repentance. We got guys that just really don't know how to connect the dots in the scripture. And they decide, you know, they have they're an authority on what the Bible, and folks, guys, it's vital that we understand that the spirit needs to be right. We need to have attitude checks. And when you check your attitude, you need to check your heart.
Amen.
And people that come into the church, if they're coming in here and they got their own agenda, they can just keep on going down the road. We got an agenda. It's right here.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Amen.
And they can just keep on going down the road. It says, and Satan has his minions. That's what I'm talking about. Satan wants to use people.
Yep.
You know.
All these preachers on TV and just.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
So-called preachers.
There's a lot of stuff out there. It's just. I call it noise.
Yeah, it is.
I call it noise. You know, some guy got on there the other day on Twitter, and he was talking about somebody saying this, somebody saying this. I said, "I love you, brother. Go change into your big boy pants." Okay, just quit paying attention to that stupid stuff. Okay, number three, 2 Corinthians 4. It says another gospel. There's only one gospel. See that? Let me tell you something. The link. If you want to know if somebody's saved, ask them what they believed
right.
when they called on the Lord.
So what was the third one? The third
another one? Gospel.
Another gospel.
Do you get that? What did you believe and what do you believe when you called on the Lord?
Right.
the gospel. That's it. It's not another gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, you know, I saw the love of God, and I just wanted to be his child.
No. It's a nice thought, but...
You remember that operation game where you try to get those things out and you hit the side?
You're dating yourself.
We're talking about mimeograph machines. So think about this. Think about this, guys. There's only one gospel. Okay? Now, people say, well, you know, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe God is God? Do you believe? Okay, let's not go down the doctrinal list. A sinner just needs to understand, first of all, number one, Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day. And call on him. If I need to understand justification by faith, if I need under the word propitiation, if I need to understand the doctrine of sublapsarianism, I'm in trouble. Because I didn't know those before I got saved. I knew hell was hot, and as Dr. Rice used to say, heaven's sweet and hell hot.
Yeah.
And the only way to get there is to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day. That's a total package.
Yes, sir.
And call on him. Now, you're going to have people come in and say, well, you know, that's not exactly, well, okay, well, then let's just make sure we get this straight. Okay? I'm not God, and you're not God. But there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ, and it's the gospel. Right?
Amen.
Right, Archie?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Okay, now look at the fourth one. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 13 through 15. Darian, read those verses 13 through 15 for us.
2 Corinthians 13.
11, verse 13 through 15.
Okay, all the saints salute you.
No. 2 Corinthians 11.
11, my fault.
11, 13 through 15.
Thank you. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see where it says it's transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. You know, you can't be an apostle of Christ unless you saw him after his death in person.
Mm.
There's some requirements. Well, I'm an apostle. No, you're not.
Right.
Yes.
I'm a prophet. I'm a prophetess. No, you're not.
Right.
You've been drinking. You know, you're not. Now, so come on. A lot of, I'm talking about people in our church. People accept that. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. No. Not okay. Not okay. And that's important. You know, people, well, I'm this. And, you know, this is, We're kingdom people. No, we're not. That's Israel. Well, preacher, biblically. Understand it biblically. Amen?
So is that other false prophets?
Other ministers.
Other.
Notice what Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light.
Right.
So it says, therefore, it's no great thing, as Darren read, his ministers to be transformed as ministers of righteousness. They put on the cloak, but behind the mask, they're monsters. They hate you. They hate the Bible. They hate the church. They hate everything. They hate everything that has to do with Jesus. It kind of gets my goat. If you remember that, you ever heard that phrase, get my goat?
No, sir.
You never heard that phrase?
I have.
I'm dating myself a lot. I think I've regressed back about 25 years. But it gets on your last nerve.
Yep.
I don't have any problem with somebody's loud mouth talking and out of their mouth comes things and everybody knows what they are. It's the sneaky ones. And they start coming in to places like our church and getting disciples. Okay? I asked a preacher one time, Arnold, what do you do with that? He says, cut the snake's head off. So you guys don't hear me. You won't hear me. But I've been here, I think, 18 years, 19 years. I can't remember. I have forever. And so I say, there's people that come here and visit, and they'll ask me about the church and everything, and I'll talk to them. I say, it wouldn't be a good place for you here. Because my discernment in my heart, I know they would come in and it'd be a problem. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when a policeman comes up on a criminal and body slams a criminal and puts the cuffs on him, it's a scary thing to everybody around. It's not something normal.
Right.
So if your pastor is body slamming people around the church, it wouldn't be a normal thing if I have to deal with people.
Well, praise the Lord.
But I'm not going to. I don't. I head it off at the pass.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If my radar goes up, and I think something's happening, and I ascertain that, I stand at the gate. Doctrinally here. And I thank God for other people in this church that stand strong on doctrine and recognize that, because it just takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump.
Right.
And so the spirits, Satan has his people to get in. When my dad resigned at an independent Baptist church years ago to work with missions. Just days after that, this man that had been there decided to challenge my brother after he took over. And so he came in, and my brother, some deacons came in, and Brother Dove, who had been my dad's assistant, came in. And now my brother didn't have to say anything. Those guys ripped him up one side and down the other and sent him packing. You know, because he wanted to change. He saw a changing of the guard. He wanted to change the church.
I've seen that.
And it's happening all over. It's happening all over. There are churches that want to, they don't want the doctrine and so forth. And that's Satan getting in. Mm-hmm. Satan doesn't need to change it overnight. He just needs to change a little bit. And I'll tell you, there are subtle things that people change in their church, and in my heart, I'm thinking, well, this is the beginning of the end.
Oh my goodness!
It doesn't take much. The people they have to come in and speak, the things they're doing, statements they make about the Bible, it's concerning, and so. The longer we go, the more we'll look like dinosaurs. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs roam the earth, amen? And so, ministers. And then, look at verse 17, Arnold.
For we are not as many which corrupt in the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we the Christ.
Is that 2 Corinthians 2:17?
Yes.
That's
it.
Okay. The Word of God.
Is that another?
Another Word of God.
Word of God.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but we use the King James Bible for a reason.
Right.
I don't debate it. I just use it.
Right.
Why do you use a fork to eat a salad? Because that's what works.
Right.
Amen? Unless you don't have one and you have to use a spork. But why do we drink water, and why do we do what, you know, and God, and I'm gonna say more about this in the message this morning, but God has given us the preserved word of God.
Amen.
If you hear somebody say, well, in the originals, you need to say, hey, let's go look at them. You got a copy at your house? And they'll look at you. Because the originals don't exist. And for good reason. Okay? So, the Word of God. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Okay, you guys know where we are now, huh? Matthew 13:24-30. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, he's talking to, who's he talking to in the Gospels? He's talking to the Jews. Jews first, also the Greek. But while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Now and so he says, and he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, look at somebody read verses 36-43 for me.
And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. Did it say right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Okay.
Keep going.
Where did I stop?
We're going through 43.
All right, my apologies. The field is the world, that the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, do you have any problem understanding after the Lord gives the interpretation of the parable there? What's happening here?
No.
What's it talking about? Talking about the judgment. Right? So that blank right there, the true gospel results in what? The wheat.
The wheat.
Yes. The wheat. And Satan sows tares.
Tares.
Now, so here's the principle for us. We don't have any trouble understanding that when the seed is sown, the gospel seed is sown, there is the true Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then among the Christians, understand this is in the same growth. There are tares. You remember Jesus had 12 disciples, one was a devil. Okay? Here's what we need to understand as Christians. Only you know if you're saved or not.
Oh, wow. Amen.
And you don't know who's sitting next to you whether they're saved or not. Now, my kids have professed to be saved. I believe they're saved. I do. Mom led two of them to the Lord, and Sunday school teacher led one to the Lord, and our grandkids are coming to the Lord, and so on and so. But it's an important thing we need to understand. God has warned us here that right there, right in among us, are counterfeit people. They are. They're there. And you know, it's like I've given this illustration before. I've been working on wood, and a couple weeks go by and something hurts in my finger. I look down, there's this little tiny piece of wood embedded down in my thumb,
mm-hmm.
and it's red and it's pussy, it's getting ready to get pussy and everything, and I gotta dig that sucker out to get some relief. But it stayed there. It was not obvious. I mean, if you stick a big piece of wood in your hand, it's obvious, right? But if it's a little tiny splinter, it gets in there, and after a while, it lets you see it there. Listen, we don't know in our church, and this is one concern for me as pastor, if you want to know things on my heart, this is one principle that as pastor that is on my heart, and that is are people in our church holding our church back from what God wants for us? And are we genuine? If we're genuinely saved, and I'm not talking about having a big church, okay? If you preach the gospel long enough, and if you keep telling people about the Lord, your church is going to grow. It grows. I'm not talking about that. If we want our church to go from where we are to several hundred in a year, I know how to do that. But is God growing the church?
Right. Amen.
And when God grows the church, he grows you inside too. If we aren't growing as Christians in our church and we're just growing numerically, we're just going to be growing numerically. That's it.
Right.
You see? And so we have to ask ourselves, we have to be very careful. And as pastor, I have to understand. I mean, I have to look at everybody in our church and say, okay, is the spirit right? And I got no problem coming up to somebody and saying, you need to straighten up. I have no problem with that. But the sad thing is that the interpretation of this is these people aren't even saved. Now that's a tragedy for somebody to grow up in a church and act like they're saved and put on the tie and put on a performance and not be saved. That's tragic. Yeah.
How do we watch out for that we ourselves are holding the church back from what God wants to do?
Well, we have to make sure we're when we have to make sure we're right with God. We're right with God. And we have to make sure we're on the same page. We're on the same page with the Lord and with the pastor. You know, I've never had anybody come up to me. I've never had anybody come up to me in all my years of preaching and say, "Pastor, what are your dreams for this place?" And just like every other pastor I talk to, a lot of times it's a tug of war to make a decision to go in a different direction. Instead of us, I don't think the church at Acts was having a problem with what was going on. I think they were going in the same direction. And I think it was a ball of energy. But you have to make sure you're right. When I look at myself as pastor, I want to make sure that there's nothing that I'm doing or the way I'm carrying myself or anything is taking away from this church. And God has to work in my heart, and God has had to work in my heart. And I think if you're honest with yourself, sometimes you get in a funk and you get away, you get going in the wrong direction and wrong thinking about things, and you have to reload and say, wait a minute. I want what God wants, not what I want. And it's easy to do that. Okay? I'm not the end all be all here. I'm just the pastor. And I can't do it myself, and I'm not going to do it myself. Don't do it.
Amen.
You know, so that's important. I mean, this is a sad thing. People that are right there in amongst you can be lost, and so a lost person is not going to want the things of God, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been in churches where people have been there for years, and somebody walked the aisle that had been there for years and said, "I need to be saved," and people go, "What?" So, now the last thing is this, and this is sad too. 11:2, 2 Corinthians 11:2. Go ahead and read it.
"For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy thinking. For I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ."
As a chaste virgin to Christ. Now that's pretty... That's talking about a counterfeit church. There is a counterfeit church out there. Huh? How many of y'all take a $50 bill? Satan also has a counterfeit church. How many of y'all ever take a large bill and they mark it or they look at it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I've asked people, I said, he said, "Yeah, we had one yesterday." And I'm thinking, you know, you just don't... I've never come across that. A counterfeit bill. Did you? Did you know it? How'd you know it?
It's the feel of it was different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if you look at it with a magnifying glass, you could really tell the difference.
I thought I'd get that through.
Take your picture on it.
And
my picture on it.
So that last one is Satan can work.
No, the last one is Satan also has a counterfeit church on the back. Oh, Satan can work miracles too. I'm sorry, we skipped over that. Look at Acts chapter 8, 9 and 11. Let's get that real quick. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 8, 9 through 11. It says, "But there is a certain man called Simon, which before time had in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself as some great one." Where'd he go?
He's not in trouble. He just... You know what I'm talking about?
She with his mom?
Went to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Sorcery. You know, he can. Satan can also use miracles.
Wow.
Okay. You want to confirm that? Just ask some missionaries. I've been in some of these places where they have these people that are taken over by Satan. There's some crazy things that happen. And so it's important. It's important. Satan is for real. And he uses his disguises, his vices, to get in and destroy. Now we're ending this chapter on Satan, but let's not forget he's alive. His days are numbered. But he's still the prince of the power of the air. Amen.
Amen. What city is he?
10th.